Good plans. How many believe God has good plans for you? You know, even if it doesn't feel like he has a good plan, he has a good plan. I was just, as I was worshiping along with you, it dawned on me that we're just a week away from celebrating one of God's greatest plans to come to us as an infant, to grow up, to be crucified, to be our Savior, to offer every single person on this globe a gift that we don't deserve. I've received that gift. I know many of you have. And listen, if God didn't do anything else for me, if the rest of my life was ugly, it's still worth it. Because I have heaven waiting for me forever and ever, because I've received the greatest gift ever offered. You know what I know about you? You have friends, you have family, you have neighbors, you have coworkers that don't realize how personal Christmas is for them. Can I just encourage you to use those 4x4 cards that you've been given, to use your voice, to use social media, but have a personal conversation with some folks this week and invite them to join you at Christmas at Crossroads. That's coming up in just 6 days. Saturday night, Christmas Eve's Eve at 7 o'clock, Christmas Eve Day at 3 o'clock. Don't show up next Sunday at 9:30 because you'd have a choice of your seat, but no one else will be here. Now, we're not going to be here at 11:15, but we will be here at 3 o'clock next Sunday, 7 p.m. this coming Saturday, Christmas at Crossroads. Pray for that. Those 2 days, because I believe many, many people are going to give their life to Christ. It's family friendly. We're going to open up our children's environments from 0 to 5, but everybody else, we're going to be together. It's going to be a great time. And can I just tell you that we're going to have cookies and cocoa afterwards for everybody? Your kids will be thrilled with that. Even adults are thrilled with that. We didn't say cookies and coffee because coffee is yuck. So we're going to have cocoa. That's just my opinion. So, yeah. For those of you that I offended, stay tuned, because I'll get you. We'll talk about that in the message. And listen, the greatest gift we're going to celebrate, I believe it's going to be an amazing 2 days. And I can't wait to meet the people that you bring and for us to worship together. Now, let me give you one twist. We told you a couple weeks ago on the 31st, it's going to be different. And we've not really announced the time, because we don't want everybody to get confused with Christmas. We got Christmas. We don't have Sunday morning. Like, what's going to happen the next Sunday morning? We're all going to be together. We're going to have one service on the 31st at 10:15. It'll be in your letter that you get this week from me. So look for that. Don't get confused by it. Just on the 31st, we're going to take communion together. We're all going to be together. It's going to be a great day. Not kids. All the kids' spaces will be open, and they're having a pajama party. How cool is that? Now, if you're an adult and you show up in your pajamas, we might look. We're not going to laugh. All right. So, just saying. All right. And, oh, by the way, last week we took our Gift It for Love special offering to purchase tools. Two of them that you see up already. They're not on. We can't power them yet. But they're going to be utilized for Christmas. Defibrillator to help save someone's life. Hopefully we never use it. And then lobby furniture. So people, we have more seating, more gathering, more community areas, and we had a goal of $15,000. Can I just tell you that where we're sitting currently today is $30,587. Yeah. $30,547 is where we're currently at. So thank you for those of you that participated, and trust me, every penny will be used to do ministry here at Crossroads, but thank you for being a part of that. All right, let's switch gears. You can take out your note sheets if you would, and let me ask you a question. Have you noticed that during a Christmas season that this time of year just simply magnifies things? It kind of magnifies everything. I mean, if there's something good at Christmas for you, it tends to get magnified and you just get even happier at the same time. If you're kind of, this is a tough season for you, that also, unfortunately, tends to get magnified. So if there was something painful that went on around this time of year, then that tends to get magnified. But all of our emotions, whether you're a kid or you're an adult, they tend to get kind of blown up and magnified, if you will. And last week we looked in this two-week mini-series, Christmas Is, we looked at Christmas is about labels. We label gifts, but all of us have been labeled. We've labeled ourselves. Other people have labeled us. Kids in school labeled us. Parents labeled us. Somebody said something to us. We all wear these labels. And we looked at how can you overcome those labels with the help and the power of God and His Word. So if you missed that, you can go back. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. With God's help, we can overcome things that we can't do on our own. Today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about overcoming offenses. Overcoming offenses. How many of you would realize and admit that you're easily offended? You're pretty easily offended. How many of you know someone who's easily offended? They might be offended. You just raised your hand. I'm just saying, especially if they're here. But I think many of us can admit that we've been offended more than we would like to be. We might be more easily offended than what we wish that we were. Listen, we've all been there, at least most of us have. I've been there. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not totally where I want to be yet. Can anybody relate to that? I recognize that there's been seasons of my life where I let little things really get to me, and maybe you're like this. For example, I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the things that offend me. Maybe you can relate to these. If I'm driving a car... and I get up to a four-way stop, and I've kind of, it's like, I'm pretty sure I'm like 0.3 seconds ahead of you, and I'm in a good mood that day, I might just kind of like wave you on, and you go ahead and go. If you don't kind of give me the, like, thank you, I'm ticked. Like, you just offended. Like, listen, I had you by 0.3 seconds. It was legitimately my turn, and I gave up my turn so you could have a turn, and you didn't even say thank you. That offended me. Can anybody relate? Yeah, okay, I'm just wanting to know if I'm the only person like this. The same is true if you're going into a store. You ever go into a store and there's like somebody like 6-7 steps behind you? You legitimately could just go in the door and it's fine. But you're like, no, I'm feeling really good today. It's Christmas. I'm just going to stand and hold the door so they can walk their 6 steps and go right on in ahead of me. And they walk in and they don't say anything. I want to follow them, said, excuse me, right? That offend anybody? Is it just me? Come on, you can say thank you. I held the door open for you. It was my turn to go in the door like I was ahead of you if you didn't notice and you can't even say anything. I'm getting offended just talking about it. Or maybe you're talking to somebody, but they're on their phone. You're just talking away and they're going, you're like, come on, am I not worth more than your phone? Like, put your phone down. I'm talking to you. Look me in the eye, right? That's offensive. Yeah, see, people laugh. You know. It's not just me. It's not just me. Or how about this? You leave somebody a message. And you know it's their message because you heard their voice on their cell phone. Hey, this is so-and-so. Please leave a message. Your message is important to me. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. It's been 2 days. They didn't get back to you. I want to call them up and say, you need to change your message. You said you'll get right back to me. You didn't get right back to me. Matter of fact, it's been 2 days. That offends me. Oh, then the holidays come. You know what's going to happen in the next handful of days for some of you? You're going to have somebody from your family. It's the same person that's got a pattern of showing up for a Christmas dinner and with an excuse of why they didn't bring anything. But they always tend to bring Tupperware that's empty to take stuff home after the dinner. You have those people too? I don't know what that does. That kind of offends me. It's like, why? You couldn't put anything in that dish, but you'll take something home in that dish? Oh, you see how timely this message is for Christmas? Some of you are going to be able to use this so much. But it's not just the holidays, if we're being honest, right? I mean, if you're easily offended, you can get offended by the littlest things. Maybe for you it takes some bigger things. But I think the fun out of all this is to come to the reality that we've all been offended. and we've all probably offended someone else. And a time of year that's supposed to be Christ-honoring and where loving others should be like the biggest focus and getting together with people and having the blessing of relationships and family and friends and just to be together. And love should be at the primary, but often it's not because of offenses. The reality is for some of us, it's not just little things. For some of you, you had some pretty big things happen to you, and they tend to show up this time of year. You've been betrayed, maybe in a significant way, by someone. Someone has caused pain in your life. Or they represented one thing and then you found out it was a lie and the truth was something else. Some of you, you've been abused. You've been in family situations that have deeply, deeply hurt you because of the dysfunction that was there. And the challenge is when you feel offended, right? And when I feel offended, when we let those offenses seep into our heart, it actually does cause some damage. It causes us to have some attitudes. It causes us to sit around a Christmas dinner table and open up maybe gifts with a closed heart. And I don't believe that's what God has for us. And so my prayer for you and my prayer for all of us during this time of year, no matter how you celebrate the birth of the Savior, right, which is to be celebrated every day, but that no one, if you open gifts, opens gifts with a closed heart to someone that you're called to love. Life is too short for that. So I want to talk to you about how to overcome those offenses. And one of the reasons I'm excited to do this is because God continues to do a work in my heart. If you think I'm rough, then man, I'm nowhere where I used to be. But the tendency is to very get quickly offended. And I think maybe in our culture today, it's more normal to get quickly offended than maybe at any other time ever. But I'm going to give you this statement, and then we're going to unpack this, and we're going to keep going back to this statement. If there's one thing that you take away from this message more than anything else, I pray that it's this statement. And if you're taking notes, that you can fill this in. That your life is too short, and your calling is too great to live offended. Let that sink in. Your life and my life, if you think life is, our life is like a mist, the Bible says. Your life and my life is too short. And our calling from the God who created us is too big and too great to be offended. It just really is. Think about it. What is life? It's brief. It's a mist. For those of you that have lost a loved one, you just seems like, no way, this can't be. Like I seem, we just had them for a little while and they're gone and that's not going to be undone. And life passes by so fast. I look at my grandkids now that I can remember when my kids were smaller than my grandkids are. You know what I'm saying? And there's many of you understand that. You're like, how did we get here so fast? I can look in the mirror and say, holy cow. I'm getting older. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, and your kids, it's like, holy cow. I wondered if I'd ever get old enough to have kids. Like, would God come back? Would I die? What would happen? Now, not only did I have kids, they're grown. They're raising kids. They're ages, that my kids are ages that I can remember still being, right? Which tells me I'm not that old because I can still remember that. So that's good. But my calling is too great and our life is too short to live offended, and so is yours. We're being robbed of so much because we're holding on to things that God doesn't want us to hold on to. And guess what? As Christ followers, you know what we're called to do by God? We're called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to share the good news. We're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be the salt of the earth. You and I that claim his name, we're to reflect the love of Jesus with everybody that we come in contact with. We're his hands, we're his feet, And can I just tell you, at this time of year, more than any time, because this is the number one time that your people that don't go to church, your friends, your family, are more apt to come at Christmas, more than Easter even. So take advantage of that. Don't get so wrapped up into what's going to happen at your house on Christmas morning that you forget and you make God's word a priority, because that's our job. And that's our blessing, and that's our opportunity. We're representatives of His, which means as long as we have breath, we have work to do. Church, that's you and I. We can't let anything distract us from that. And I don't know about you, but I got to remind myself, life is too short for me, and my calling is too great to be offended by something small. And you know what I realize? Small people can carry big offenses. We got to learn to let it go. We've got to learn to let it go, because life is too short, and our calling by our God, our Creator, that came to earth as a baby, it's too great to be offended. So I've got to not let little things drag me down. What I want to do today is I want to unpack one verse and kind of set the tone, and then I want to share with you two statements that I pray that you never forget and kind of unpack those a little bit. Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs again is the book of wisdom. This is what Scripture says: a person's wisdom yields patience. So if you're not patient, it says something about how much wisdom. I hate to hear that. It's to one's glory to do what? To overlook an offense. It's to one's glory, because a person's wisdom yields patience. So it's to one's glory to what? To overlook an offense. We're all going to be offended, but God says a wise person overlooks that, looks over that, because our calling is too great. And life is too short to be offended. So someone with wisdom is going to overlook that, because there's something better, there's something bigger, there's something more important. So we've got to make a decision regularly to let it go, to not get stuck in those little offenses that life can dish out so often. In other words, overlooking an offense is a form of forgiveness. It's almost like overlooking an offense is an in-the-moment, real-time way of forgiving. It's a choice. Listen, because of God's grace, because of God's grace for me, because of God's grace for you, I'm not going to let that little thing offend me and get me stuck. I'm going to overlook it on the fly. I'm not even going to hesitate. Because you know what I know? If I don't overlook it and I focus on that offense, guess what it does? It seeps into my heart, and it seeps into yours, and it causes damage. It causes me to be negative. It causes me to think everybody's out to get me. It just adds one more thing of why you've offended me so many times. The Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't keep score. If you look at the word overlook in the English language, it actually comes from two Hebrew names, or two Hebrew words, should I say, that we stack together and translated overlooked. The words literally mean to pass over. That's what the Hebrew words mean. We say overlooked. In the Hebrew, it say to pass over. To pass over. It's to one's glory to pass over. To make a choice to pass over an offense. I'm just going to pass over that. I'm not going to get stuck on that. I'm not going to let that stick to my heart. I'm making a choice on the fly to pass over that offense. Isn't that great? I love what, there's a quote on your note sheet by Rene Descartes. And she says this: whenever anyone has offended me, I try to raise my soul. Get this. I try to raise my soul so high that the offense can't reach it. Isn't that great? I love that. That's overlooking. I'm going to try to raise my soul so high that the offense can't stick it, that it can't touch my heart, that it's not going to trap me. So what I want to do now is I want to unpack two thoughts. And if you're taking notes, you can fill these in. But let's be honest, there's many of us here that have had deeper wounds. And some of us have had some of these. We've been carrying them in our heart for years and years, maybe even through generations. Sadly, I've seen and heard stories of that in people's lives. So with God's help, I'm getting over this. Would you say that with me? With God's help, I'm getting over this. I'm going to pass over it. I'm going to look over the offense with God's help because I can't do it on my own. If I could have done it on my own, I'd already be past them. If just me talking about that person that comes, empty Tupperware, goes home with full Tupperware, sticks with you, you haven't overcame it. You're like, oh, yeah, I know. Her face popped, his face, their names popped in your head. Okay, you're following me. With God's help, I'm getting over this. With God's help, I'm getting over this. I'm going to raise my soul so high that it can't catch me. It can't cause my heart to get stuck. First thought, if you're taking notes, with God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended. With God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended. If you're easily offended, with God's help, you can get over it. With God's help, I can get over that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each, get this, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults. You know what that means? We all have them. Make allowance because we're human, we're people, because of your love. How many of you know somebody who's perfect? The only person I know is perfect is Jesus. You know what that means about the rest of us? We're not. I hate to burst your bubble. If you came in here today, if I just ruined your Christmas and you're offended, you're not perfect. And you know what that means? We're going to offend each other. Mostly, probably unintentionally, maybe intentionally, hopefully not. But we've got to make a choice. According to God's word, we got to make allowances for the faults of one another, because if you've not noticed it, if you're around people, you're going to be offended and you're going to offend. People are going to hurt your feelings. You're going to hurt their feelings. It's life, because we're fallible people. We're not perfect. And so God is setting us up as his followers to be able to deal and still love in life without just getting angry at people, to say, hey, people are people and they're going to do that. But I'm going to raise my soul so high that I'm not getting stuck on these simple offenses. Now, we've said this before, so if this sounds familiar, I'm glad, but we need to do something with it. We often judge others by their intentions, right? But we judge ourselves by, no, we don't. We judge ourselves by intentions. We judge others by their actions, don't we? I'm always easier on myself because I know me. I intended to be this way. I'm sorry that you've took it that way. But what I tend to do when somebody else comes at me, we judge them by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. And so do you. For example, we let ourselves off the hook pretty good, right? Because we know our intentions. And if we're being honest with ourselves, I didn't intend for that to hurt you. I've had to say I'm sorry many, many times because truly that wasn't my intention. But people judge me by my actions, and so we all do that to each other, correct? And again, I've told you this story, but it's so ugly about me that I have to tell it again. And I could tell it about you, but I don't know your story as well as I know mine, so I'll just take it today for everybody else. Years ago, I preached a message online, and if I must say, it was good, because we found out that there's not colors of lies, just to break it to you. You ever heard somebody say, well, it was just a little white lie? There's not little white lies and big black lies. They're all lies. Lies are deception. So if you've let yourself off the hook because, wow, for instance, before I pick on me, anybody ever had your phone ring? A kid picks up the phone or whatever, and you say, tell them I'm not here. Liar. Liar. Anyway, so I preach this message online. No little black lies, no little white lies, or just lies or deception, all that. I did something very odd that day, and if you know me, you know this is very rare for me. I actually went to the store because my wife had something after church, and we were panning people coming over, so we needed one more thing, so I was going to bust in the store, which I hate going to the store. And I went into the store, and I know what's going to happen because it's after church, and somebody's going to see me from church, and they're going to want to talk, and frankly, I need to get home, and we've got people coming. My wife's chomping at the bit, we got to get this thing. And so I had a plan, and when I walked in, I put the phone up to my head, and I'm like, good, if I see anybody, then all I have to do is think. And people will be like, oh, he's on the phone, can't talk to him. And I got in line. I made it all the way through the store. I got my two items. I think it was two items. I got in that line where it's only supposed to be express. This was so many years ago. They didn't even have self-checkout. Whole different thing. Don't get me on that. That offends me. But anyway, so I'm in this checkout line. It's eight items or less, right? And I make it to the next person. All of a sudden, somebody walks by and says, "Oh, Pastor Scott." And I went, "Sorry." And I was, and they stood there thinking maybe I'll get off the phone. So I'm just, and then the phone rings. My wife called. She called again. There was one more thing. I just spoke online, and I got busted lying. My phone rang in the grocery store. Would act like I was on the phone. Yeah. We judge other people by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. We let us off the hook. Why don't we let other people off? We got to rise above our offenses. We got to raise our soul so high that that stuff doesn't stick to our heart. Think about this for just a second. If we don't do this God's way, do you realize not overcoming those offenses and getting so offended and justifying our offenses? Like, well, gee whiz, of course I'm offended. That guy, I was next at the four-way stop. Of course I'm offended. Did you see how fast he was driving? Of course I'm offended. They didn't use their blinker. I mean, he about cut us off. Their bad driving, they're not saying thank you when you open the door for them. It's not about you. And here's where I get stuck. It's like they did that to me. No, they didn't do it to me. I just was offended by that. Their bad day is not all about me. Why would I allow their actions, their offenses to ruin my day? It's not all about me. Their angry remark is not about me. The fact they almost ran into my car and I honked and then they told me I was number one when they waved at me, it's not really about me. I don't know what they're going through. It might be PMS. I don't know. By the way, I saw a really cool book lately, just 2 days ago, a humorous book at a party that we had about PMS, just for the record. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. By the way, guys, don't ever ask your wife that question if she's not in a great mood. Just from experience, it's not a good question to ask. Anyway, it's not about you. They're not doing it to you. Do you have you ever been to the grocery store and had maybe the cashier? You're trying to be nice and they're not having it and they've got an attitude and you take offense to that because you think it's just about you. Do you realize it's not about you? You have no idea. Maybe they just buried her father. Maybe her husband just walked out on her. You have no idea what people are going through. But we tend to think everything is directed towards us because we happen to be the recipients of that. We have no idea. And instead of judging them as a Christ follower, what I need to do is to have some compassion and some love for them, to be a light to them. And can I just say something really honest? For some of you, that's like, if that happens to me, I just put them in their place. That's not God honoring. That's not God honoring. We should be the most loving, grace-filled, compassionate people in this community as followers of Christ. How can I minister to them? How do I see beyond what they did and see a hurting heart and pray for them? And can I just tell you that? There's two ways to do that. And I've been guilty of both of them. There's one way to say, wow, you know what it sounds, can I just tell you very heartfelt that I'll pray for you? Not sure all that's going on, but I just want you to know I will be praying for you. I've been on that side. I've said that. And then I got to be honest. I've also gotten so wound up to say, I'll be praying for you. You obviously need it. Right? Am I the only one? I don't see any other hands. My life is too short, and so is yours. And our calling is too great to live offended. We've got to, with God's help, get over the things that allow us to be easily offended. Number two, if you're taking notes, with God's help, I'm getting over the big offenses. Not all the offenses are small, right? Some of the offenses that you and I experience are big. Some of you have some significant things going on in your life right now. Some of you, just because of this season, it stirs up. It magnifies some of the betrayals. Maybe the abuse. Maybe lies. Maybe how you've been hurt by certain people in your family. And you just almost dread getting together. I know this is very, very, very real. But when we're hurt, we have a choice. We can either do one of a couple of different extremes. And please don't miss this. Because everything that offends us, everything that happens to us, we either do one of two things with it, with our heart and our head. You either rehearse it, right? That's one of the things that can happen. Or we release it. When someone says something to you that maybe has said some things to you in the past, it can either get stuck in your head and you rehearse it over and over and over and over and over again. You can say, here we go again, which is a clear indicator that I've not released it, but I've held on to it. Or I can release it. I can say, wow, you know what? I'm going to overcome that. I'm not going to keep score of this because that's going to stick in my heart and my head. I'm not going to allow myself to keep rehearsing like I've done maybe for years. I'm going to say to God, help me to release this. With God's help, I want to release this. I'm tired of rehearsing it, and it's to God's glory that I'm going to pray. That God, you would help me release this stuff. It's to your glory, God, that I'll overlook, that I'll try to raise my soul so high above those offenses that they don't drag me down. In his spirit, the more you make the choice to release instead of to hold on to and rehearse it, the more you release it, the more that God, through his spirit, can begin to change your heart and soften your heart. And if the truth were known, some of us have some pretty calloused hearts. And we defend it by saying, yeah, but you've not been through what I've been through. You're right. But the damage it's causing is to you, not to the people that have offended you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, God's word tells us, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Huh? Yeah, make allowances for each other's faults. You know why? Because people are going to hurt each other. It's not a matter of if, it's a how often. And forgive anyone who offends you. Forgive anyone who offends you. For some of you, there's a name already and a face that's popped into your head again. But you know what he's saying that we need to remember? We need to remember forgiveness is huge and forgiveness is for me. And remember that the Lord forgave me. So he tells me that I must forgive others. How? How do you forgive someone that seems unforgivable? How do you forgive someone that's hurt you so deeply? They don't deserve it. If you're a follower of Jesus, your sins didn't deserve to be forgiven either. But God forgave you. Not only are we to forgive someone that's hurt us, but you know what sometimes is even more difficult than that? Is to forgive someone that hurts someone that we love. I find it's easier for me to forgive somebody that hurt me than it is if they hurt one of my kids or one of my grandkids or my wife. How do we forgive then? Can I give you the secret? It's to go back when you find that you don't think they deserve your forgiveness, is to sit down between you and God and think about the things he's forgiven you for. And you didn't deserve that forgiveness. So God, if you've forgiven me what I don't deserve to be forgiven of, who am I to withhold that forgiveness from someone else who doesn't deserve it? I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I've been forgiven of a lot. More than you would ever dream of. Trust me. I've been forgiven of a lot. I look through all of my life, and I think about the number of people that I hurt. I look back to school, and with my quick wit, some of the hurt that I caused other students to keep the limelight or the spotlight off of me and my insecurities and my pain. I've hurt a lot of people. When I think about the things that I've done that have hurt myself, when I think of things that maybe I've done that's hurt other people or decisions I made that affected other people in a negative way, I've been forgiven of a lot. And when I will stop long enough, when I don't want to forgive someone else or I want to try to justify why they offended me and tell everybody else how they offended me and get other people to support me in the fact you're right, they were wrong, oh, thank you. It still causes damage in my heart. And so what I have to do is continue to go back to being, live above, to not let this stuff stick to my heart. Some of you right now are living in very difficult circumstances. You're in a difficult marriage. There's a lot of things up in the air. You don't even know how it's going to turn out. Maybe your spouse committed adultery. And you said, oh, I've read scripture. Adultery is a grounds for divorce. It is. It's there. But can I tell you, adultery is also grounds for forgiveness. Everything's not just so cut and dry. And I don't know who this might speak to today, but if you would just allow God to crack open your heart a little bit today and to let you see a glimpse of all that you've been forgiven for, it might help you to have a different outlook on that person that you don't want to forgive. That person that's offended you so often that it's damaged your heart. Maybe you go back to that quote, to raise your soul so high that it can't get stuck on those offenses. The very thing that's been holding you back for so long, that's holding me back, could be the thing that God uses to get you closer to God. To realize that you've been forgiven of so much might allow you to look at someone else and say, I forgive you. Not because you deserve it. Not even because you said you're sorry. But because I've been forgiven. Instead of holding on to it and rehearsing it, I'm going to choose to release it. Because my God released me. What someone else may have meant for evil, God meant it for good. God used it for good. He didn't cause it. He allowed it. But all things work together for the good for those of us that love him and are called according to his purpose. I want to share with you a story from God's word before we close and try to bring this all together. God created all of us, and he didn't make any junk. And in this life, we all travel different pathways. There's things that happen to us we don't understand. There's good things that happen to us we don't understand. There's challenges that happen to us that we look around at others, and we're like, they don't seem to be going through these. And life can take its toll on you. There's a story in God's word about Joseph. Joseph was quite a guy. Anybody know the story of Joseph? You remember Joseph in this coat of many colors? You know, he had brothers that were very mean to him. Tried to sell him. Put him in a pit. Hoped he'd just go away. And he got out of the pit. And he becomes a part of leadership. He gets second in command. And God tells him to prepare for a famine. And so he's in a place of power now after being in a pit and hoping by his brothers he would die. And years later, a famine did hit the land. And people were literally dying of starvation. And his brothers don't want their family to die, and so they come to Pharaoh's looking for some help and some food. And Joseph sees his brothers. And I'm sure Joseph had thoughts that I would have had, like, ha, ha, ha. Now's my chance to get back at you. Now you have to come to me and you don't even know I'm the one in charge. And you're what? You're hungry? Oh. Remember that pit? Remember how you abused me? Remember you threw me in there hoping I would die? You didn't want anything to do with me? What do I do now? Did you want some food? Oh, you baby hungry. But you know what Joseph didn't do? He didn't say, you remember what you did to me? Here's what I'm going to give you to repay you. He didn't allow those offenses that were directed at him to react the way that a human would react normally. He in turn realized that what they meant for evil, God took and made something good. That takes a big person to do that. That takes a wise person to do that. That takes a follower of Jesus that understands that God works together in all things, even the ugly, even the things we do to ourselves that somebody else does to us. But he wants us to rise above, to overlook, instead of rehearsing it, to release it so it doesn't cause damage to our heart. Your life is too short. My life is too short. And our calling by God is too big to be easily offended. So we're just going to forgive in the way that Jesus forgave. Not because they deserve it, because I didn't deserve it. It doesn't change what happened in the past, but it does change what God can do in your future. Overlook an offense. Make the choice, the wise choice, to overlook the small offense, the big offense. Not because they deserve it, but because you were forgiven of much. And it brings honor and glory to God. And it does your heart and your soul good to rise above. Would you bow your heads with me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, I just thank you and praise you for today, for your word, for laughter, because God, we see ourselves. We know we're easily offended oftentimes by things that are insignificant, but we're also offended at times by things that are very significant. God, for those who have been significantly hurt that are here today, I pray for them. For those that are at home, God, that have been significantly hurt, I pray for them. For those, God, that you would just let them know as followers of Christ that you've forgiven them of the small and the biggest of big. So who are we to withhold that? And quite honestly, God, our withholding only damages us and our heart, our relationship with you. Those of us who have received so much, how would we ever hold it back? God, I pray for a lot of releasing today instead of rehearsing. I pray for every Christ follower, God, to just realize that you took all that we deserved so that we wouldn't have to get what we deserve. And for that, God, we are eternally thankful and grateful. If you're here today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, can I tell you, you've got the opportunity on the 17th day of December in the Christmas season to unwrap and to take hold of the greatest gift you'll ever be offered, and that is forgiveness for all that you've done wrong. That is the gift that allows you to have a personal relationship with the God who so loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus, as a baby born of a virgin on Christmas morning, who grew up to be 33 years old and fulfilled what God had planned for him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. So whosoever would trust in this Jesus who lived and died and rose from the dead, who had done nothing wrong, that took the sins of the world upon himself, would offer you the gift of eternal life, forever life, heaven life, that there's no other way to get to other than through him. And it's a gift that you can't earn or purchase or deserve. It's simply a gift that you receive by faith. When you admit that you're a sinner and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, he adopts you into his family. He throws your sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore, never to be held against you anymore. And he gives you what only he deserved, which is eternal life, heaven life, for a perfect life that only he had. If that's you today, just in your own heart, whether you're home or whether you're in this room, say, God, this seems way too good to be true. But God, I believe it is. And I believe you brought me here today to hear this message because I have not received this gift. Oh, I believe in you, but I've never received you as Savior. So Jesus, right now, I admit that I'm a sinner. I turn from my sin, and in faith, I turn to you. I invite you into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. Thanks for dying for me. Thanks for offering me the gift that can never, ever break or give out, that I don't deserve, and forgiveness that I can't earn. And God, from this day forward, I want to live and rise above offenses and offer to others what I've been rehearsing, but now that I'm going to release because you've released me. We say thanks. We give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen.